Hello, everybody, and
Welcome
to our webinar. One of the first things I would like to ask is that everybody put theirself on self-mute. Okay, there. I did it for you. I'm going to keep you muted for a while, and when I've taken you off being muted, if you would please keep yourself on self-mute. This minimizes the background noise. It minimizes the echo that we have. Okay, I think everybody's fixed now with the microphone. So, that's good. Now, I'm going to be going through the presentation, but I'm going to stop every so often and I'm going to ask for open questions. This particular version that we're using for this webinar, we don't actually have the little hand that you can raise like some of the webinars do. And because we're keeping you on mute, what I would like you to do is I need you to please, when you want to speak, if we haven't given you the opportunity, if you're muted, please just type in something in the little type a message here and say, I have a question or I'd like to say something, and we'll be able to get to you. I've got several people on the staff that are helping me to keep track of that. Okay? Otherwise, like I said, we're going to try and keep you all on self-mute or keep yourself on self-mute to minimize the noise that we've got. This is being recorded. We have quite a few people here with us today. And as I said, I'm going to stop periodically in my presentation and ask if there's any questions or discussions. And any of you that have anything, please contribute. Okay, we're going through the Sagittarius Labor of Hercules. It's an astrological interpretation, and it's based on the articles that Alice Bailey published in The Beacon from 57 to 58. It's, of course, published in the book The Labors of Hercules that was put out in 1974. I reiterate this almost every month. Why exactly do we want to study the Hercules myth? Well, the labors, they're a synthetic picture of the work that disciples do, you know, from the mental plane through the emotional plane and then out into the physical plane. It's work that can be very hard, very slow process, and it's carried forward under great difficulties, as it says here, often in blind ignorance of the forces that are being released and the results that are to be achieved. But each step, we're led along the path. We learn about self-knowledge and development as we study this. We learn about our character and the natures of the tests. We learn about the qualities which characterize the form that can be transmuted into those which actually reveal the soul. So the progress isn't just limited to a disciple. Hercules, of course, is at that point along the path where he's going through it one final time. But we all go through these lessons, and we go through them over and over again at different levels. So we learn little, you know, each time we go around, we spiral up. We learn more. The lessons are greater. So the progress, again, isn't just limited to the disciples. Every single one of us have every sign in our chart. So we work with all 12 of them to some degree. And we need to understand what each lesson of the signs are. And Hercules, the labors of Hercules, does a great job of showing us that. Of course, in our own chart, some of the signs are going to be more represented than others, depending on, you know, where we have clusters of planets and whatnot, but we all still have all those planets there, or all those signs there. Okay, we're at the Sagittarius labor, which means we're actually at the 10th webinar, the 9th sign. We've gone through the other ones systematically. And for those of you new to this series, we have them available. You can find them, the link to them on our external website, MoiraFederation.com. All of the webinars that we've done so far, the ones that Eva has done on the Rays and on astrology are there. The ones I've done on the Labors of Hercules, the ones Elena is doing on the Dinah Disciples, the links are there, as well as the links of all the ones that Michael have done. So there's all kinds of webinars there for you if this is something you're interested in looking at. Okay, so now we're at the final four signs. We went through the first four signs that were the preparatory signs. In Aries, Hercules began on the plane of the mind in his endeavor to capture the man-eating mares, and he met with failure because he dealt with them in a personality way. He dealt with thought from the standpoint of personality and did not work with his problem from the standpoint of the soul. We control our thoughts and consequently control our words. There is no initiation possible for us until we do. So in Aries, Hercules began to control thought. In Taurus, he worked down to the astral plane and came up against the problem of sex, the demonstration of the great law of attraction in the universe at its lowest aspect. He had fairly good success there. He did control the bull, and he drove it into the city of the Cyclops. In Gemini, it began to dawn upon him that he was dual. He was engrossed with the problem of the soul and the body and how to coordinate the two. That is why Gemini fluctuates in the early stages. And in Cancer, he passed on to a certain amount of mass consciousness. He took form. Cancer is the gate into human incarnation. With many, the fact that they are human beings and have relationship to other human beings just doesn't enter their consciousness at all. In Cancer, Hercules began to realize that. And the moment that you get that, you capture that timid dough of the intuition and you begin to become intuitive rather than psychic. There are actually two cosmic gates. Cancer is the gate into incarnation, and Capricorn is the gate into the spiritual kingdom, or the gate out. Prior to Capricorn, though, is Sagittarius, and it's actually spoken of as a lesser gate. Alice Bailey likened it to the little gate at the foot of the hill through which we pass before climbing the mountain. In passing through that little gate, we demonstrate our ability to rightly use the arrows of thought. That is the great test of Sagittarius. Okay, so those were the first four signs, the preparatory signs. The next four signs were the physical plane struggle. Hercules passed into that difficult sign of Leo, where so many now are, and he became a forceful individual. He was sure he could do everything. He stood alone, a stage of power. At that point, you're going to rule men, and you're going to begin by ruling them wrong. You assert yourself too forcefully, and you think you are more important than you are. You have to get rid of that sense of I am. That is the whole story of the life of an aspirant. You must become so identified with the spiritual entity that lies back of all forms that you are not occupied with your own form or mental or emotional reactions. Then in Virgo, Hercules became conscious not of the soul and body placed in juxtaposition to each other, but the fact that latent within him was that infinite Christ, that the personality, the form side, was nurturing a beautiful hidden something and his eyes were opened. Then in Libra, he went through a difficult stage of achieving equilibrium. This is a very puzzling sign in many ways, because the man is neither the soul nor the body here. Libra is the balancing on the physical plane of all of the pairs of opposites. He has balanced them so much that he does not feel that he is getting anywhere. It's actually in the hub. In Scorpio, on the astral plane, he takes up again the work that he began in Taurus. He completes it, and he clears away that great mire, the great illusion, and stands free with that goal clear in front of him. He is now ready to begin the work of the four final signs, the signs of achievement. So here we see the aspirant has worked out glamour and form, and he's now free from their limitations. He can be the archer in Sagittarius, going straight for the goal. The goat in Capricorn, scaling the mountain of initiation. The world worker or server in Aquarius, and the world savior in Pisces. Thus, he can sum up in himself all the gains of the preparatory period and the fiercely fought battles of the four signs of strenuous activity. Now he's ready to demonstrate the gains achieved and the powers developed. Okay. Please, again, keep yourself on self-mute if you don't have anything to say, but I'm going to open it up right now, unmute everybody, just to see if there's any questions before I move on to the next slide. Any questions? Okay, I'm going to mute everybody again and move on. As with all of the labors, Hercules faces his teacher. Within the place of peace, the teacher stood and spoke to Hercules. O son of God, who art also a son of man, the teacher said. The time has come to tread another way. At gate the ninth you stand. Pass through and find the marsh of Stymphalus, where dwell the birds that havoc wreak. Discover then the way to flush them from their long secure abode. The teacher paused a moment before going on, and then continued. The flame that gleams beyond the mind reveals direction sure, he added. The task awaits. Through the gate the ninth you must now go. And so Hercules, the son of man, who was also the son of God, embarked on the ninth labor. The labor to kill the Stymphalian birds. Hercules searched for a long time until he came to the fetid marsh of Stymphalus, where a throng of birds cawed menacingly. The noise was abhorrent and dissonant. As he got closer, he saw that the large birds were fierce and hideous. They had iron beaks and talons that were sharpened like swords. Their feathers, too, seemed like steel shafts that could inflict wounds just by falling off of the bird. Three birds saw Hercules and swooped down on him. He stood his ground and warded off attacks with the heavy club that he bore. One bird he struck resoundingly upon the back. Two feathers plummeted to the ground, quivering as they plunged into the ground like knives. He fought them for a while before the birds withdrew. He tried many different ways to kill the birds, but he was unsuccessful. He tried arrows, but only killed a small number, barely impeding the flock that rose in clouds so thick they hid the sun. He considered another means to get rid of them before he finally remembered the words that his teacher had told him. The flame that gleams beyond the mind reveals direction sure. And that's when he got a new idea. He had some large symbols, and he used them to create this unearthly screeching sound, a sound so piercing and so harsh it would scare the dead. To Hercules himself, the sound was intolerant, and so he had to cover his ears first. At twilight, when the marsh was the most dense with these countless birds, Hercules returned and clashed the cymbals loudly over and over again. He could barely tolerate it himself, but it created a noise so horrible that it managed to bewilder and disturb the birds. They rose up flapping their wings wildly and screeched in hoarse dismay. Utterly confused, the vast cloud of birds fled in haste, never to return again. Silence spread across the marsh. The horrid birds had disappeared. When Hercules returned, the teacher greeted him. The birds of slaughter have been driven off. The labor is achieved. Okay, let's move quickly on to the next one before I open it up for any more questions. So Hercules freed himself from illusion with the symbols that Athena had given him. The idea here is that we must get those birds out of the marshes and into the clear air where we can see them and conquer them. The birds that did the most harm were those first three that attacked him. And in one book, they're enumerated as cruel gossip, talk of the self, and selfish talk. There was another one, another bird also, or sometimes considered one of those three, and that's the casting of pearls before swine. You know, I've heard that before, and I never really understood exactly what it meant. It's kind of a quaint old phrase, isn't it? But basically, the way that they describe it in the Labors of Hercules, it's actually talking about occult matters to people who are not ready yet to understand what it is that you mean by that. So Hercules had already dealt with the stupendous tests of the disciple in Scorpio. He had demonstrated to himself that he could no longer be taken in by the serpent of illusion. He thought that he was free from glamour and from all that could beguile him. The vision of Sagittarius could now be seen, but he discovered here that he still had an emotional nature. Refined though it might be, it still had to be controlled. He discovered that he can now be, that he was actually a devastating force, that these birds are part of his own mind, and that his words and thoughts can actually do real harm. And this was one of the big lessons that he had to learn here, was that the further along we go on the path, the more that we function as a spiritual entity, the more potent we become, and the more harm that we can do. Disciples are forceful, wielding power, and usually the center of a group. If you are an aspirant or a disciple, the thought and speech activity is your main enterprise, so you must weigh your thoughts carefully because there is so much potency behind them, and that wrong thoughts, wrong words, can do so much more harm because of the level that you're at. So that's one of the biggest lessons to learn here. In Sagittarius, Hercules took up and completed the work that he started both in Scorpio and Taurus. Now, this is actually the fourth ray of harmony through conflict working out. You know, Scorpio, Taurus, and Sagittarius are the three signs that the fourth ray manifests itself through. So not only was it sequentially from the Scorpio lesson to the Sagittarius lesson, but it's tied in with the work that was also done in Taurus. Sagittarius has sometimes also been called the sign of the effect of Scorpio, and this is why it follows it for the disciple. The moment we have freed ourselves from illusion, that moment we enter Sagittarius and we see that goal. We have never really seen it before because between us and the goal, there was always that cloud of thought forms that actually prevented us from seeing clearly. We talk about spiritual love, devotion to the Christ, devotion to the elder brothers of the race and to the soul. And as we are occupied with these thoughts, we build these clouds of thought forms because we're thinking about it. And as we think, we build. Therefore, we have built around us such a cloud of thoughts about our aspirations that we don't actually see that goal. Sagittarius is many things. It is the archer on that white horse, sometimes pictured as the centaur with the bow and arrows. In these two modes of picturing the centaur, you've got the half-human, half-animal, or the archer on the white horse, who is half-human and half-divine. And there you have the whole story. A white horse is always the symbol of divinity. Sagittarius is a double sign, and whenever you have a double sign, you have a problem. Gemini is the opposite of Sagittarius. Gemini brought the duality, and Sagittarius brings the unity, the one-pointedness going forward, the unified personality, conscious of the soul, determined to enter the sign of Capricorn, where the great transition is made out of the fourth, or the human kingdom, into the fifth, or the spiritual kingdom. Okay, I'm going to try it again. Please, everybody, keep yourself on self-mute unless you have something, a question that you'd like to ask. Or if at any time you need to ask a question, please type it in the chat box, and I hope my staff will help me make sure I don't miss anything there. Okay, so here we go. Any questions now before we move on to the next slide? Okay, I'll move on then. I'll put you all on mute again. Okay, Hercules also took up and completed the work that was started in Aries. You know, there's a lot of correspondences that we see here in what they tell us in the labors of Hercules. You know, we saw the connection there with the fourth ray in Scorpio and Taurus, and now we see it with two fire signs, Aries and Sagittarius. Okay, so there's many correlations here, and the labors of Hercules does a really good job of pointing some of those out. Esoteric astrology does as well. So here we see that he completed the work that he started in Aries, where he dealt with thought at its source. In Sagittarius, he demonstrates complete control of thought and speech. In Aries, Hercules began on the plane of mind in his endeavor to capture those man-eating mares, and he met with failure at first because he dealt with it from the personality. He did not work with the problem from the standpoint of the soul. In Sagittarius, he slaughtered the man-eating birds. Well, we didn't see so much of the slaughtering as we did scared them away, but they were gone. But he was back again to the same problem there of the plane of the mind. This is one of the first things that an aspirant to initiation has to learn to do, to demonstrate complete control of thoughts and words. There is no initiation in Capricorn unless we do. Silence is required of both speech and mind. Sagittarius is called in some ancient books the sign of silence. In ancient mysteries, the newly admitted brother had to sit in silence. He was not allowed to walk or speak. He had to be to work and to watch, because one cannot enter the fifth kingdom in nature, the spiritual kingdom, or climb the mountain of Capricorn until there has been restraint of speech and control of thought. That is the lesson of Sagittarius. Restraint of speech through control of thought. After you have given up using the ordinary forms of speech, such as gossip, then you have to learn restraint of speech about things spiritual. This was the no casting the pearls before the swine. Restraint of speech about things spiritual. You have to learn what not to say about the life of the soul. Right use of thought, restraint of speech, and consequent harmlessness on the physical plane are what result in liberation. For we ourselves have said and done. Whoops. For we are held in the human unit. We are imprisoned to the planet, not by some outside force that holds us there, but by what we have said and done. In other words, our karma. Once we've overcome that, we don't have to come back anymore, unless we choose to. So the moment we no longer set up wrong relations with people by the things that we say or should not have said, the moment we stop thinking about people that we should not think about, then little by little, those ties to our planetary existence are severed, and we become freed enough to climb the mountain of Capricorn. Then, of course, that brings up the other question. Why do we even tie ourselves to other human beings? Why keep on seeing the goal and reincarnating? And, of course, the answer for that is service, for the love of our fellow brothers. And we do this in a detached and dispassionate way, without critical thoughts, without selfish or self-pitying thoughts, and certainly without gossip. Sagittarius is the spirit of truth. It is the sum of all truth growing out of individual revelation. Now, when we think of ourselves as an individual, we're thinking separatively. And of course, as a soul, we want to think jointly. And so this separativeness, this aha moment, this I have the revelation and I know something that you don't know, and that sets me aside from you, that's even a wrong use of the energy of Sagittarius. Just because God has revealed something that makes us special, or we've realized it, doesn't mean we should impose our interpretation of that truth on someone else, because that truth is personal to us. Someone else may be at a different stage on the path. Their truth may be completely different to them than what it is to us. We can be one-pointed, and we can know that this one small portion of the truth is important to us at the stage that we're on. As long as we realize it may not be important to anybody else. Sagittarius is the first of the great universal signs. The truth as the whole truth, but only when the arrows of thought are rightly used. All the various truths form the one truth, and that is what is finally realized in Sagittarius. But you can't go through the gate at the foot of the mountain until you have seen where your little bit of truth forms into that group mosaic of the truth. Sagittarius has also been called the spirit of right, growing out of the contentions of the previous 8 signs. At this point, we have learned to discriminate between right and wrong. We should know what is right for ourselves, but also have learned what is right for us personally may be totally wrong for someone else, or vice versa. We all have different equipment, different heredity, different traditions, different backgrounds, different racial tendencies, even though we might be on the same stage of the path. So we are all diverse, having our own ray makeup, different soul, different personality rays. So we learn to do what is right by us, but to also give credit to other people to know what is right for themselves, not imposing our rightness on anyone else. If we could assume that attitude towards each other, the spirit of harmlessness, the control of thought, and the restraint of speech would emerge in the world and would help mitigate many of the world problems. This is the Sagittarian way of the soul. Okay.
BL has a comment. Nicole has a comment.
Okay. Let me just open. There you go, Nicole. Can you take yourself off self-mute and then go ahead? Nicole, I've unmuted you, but you have to unmute yourself. There you go. Go ahead.
Is that right now?
Yes.
Sorry, I wasn't quite sure whether we wrote the comment in the little chat box or whether I had to wait for you to unmute me. Sorry, I wasn't quite sure.
Either works, but yeah. Either works, but since I could unmute you, go ahead, please.
Okay, right. I was just wondering about the ninth sign. For me, the number 9 is the number of initiation. And I thought that it also corresponded to the number 9 of the being the number of the human monads, the fourth creative hierarchy on the fourth plane, on the fourth buddhic plane, where Dike says that, we are initiates even before we go through the initiation proper. So to me, I thought it was very interesting that in Sagittarius, then we actually go through the actual process of initiation, where the fusion, which Jupiter, which is the planet of fusion, and you said that earlier on, where in Sagittarius, the disciple becomes one-pointed. It's that unity, and that's provided by the planet Jupiter. But I thought it was interesting that the ninth sign corresponded to the number 9 of the creative hierarchy on the fourth plane of seeing the whole of intuition, which is the key word for the Sagittarian sign.
Right.
I've also got another comment on about the symbol of the birds, but I'm not sure whether to mention it now or later.
Go ahead now.
Okay. I thought that the symbol of the birds was very interesting. First of all, the birds, they fly in the sky, which is the symbol of air, which is really the symbol of Buddhi. Fourth plane, again, we have that inclusiveness or seeing the whole or intuition. So that's on a higher level where the disciple goes through the process of initiation, where the three birds represent the three aspects or the three chakras on the mental plane, the mental base, mental sacral, and mental spleen, where these chakras need to be infused with the energy of Budi, and but also I thought that the birds are in the marsh. The marsh is the symbol of water, and we know that Sagittarius is rules the sixth astral plane, which is related to the solar plexus and the ray six, and there is also a very close relationship between the Agni Suryans, the sixth plane divas, and the fourth plane divas of the Agni Shvatas. So there's that four and six being related here too.
And that gets back to the fact that, you know, on the previous slide that we saw it, where thinking that he had already conquered his emotional nature, that was an issue that came up for him again. And of course, that ties in exactly with what you're saying here too. So all of these correlations, they're very important, and I really appreciate you bringing them up. And they show from the lowest level up through the higher levels, which is also important. So thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that. Did you have anything more, or does anybody else have anything? And let me unmute everybody.
Yeah.
Just to see if there's any more questions. But again, if you don't have anything to say, please keep yourself on self-mute so we can minimize the background noise and echo. Any comments, questions before we move on?
Maybe just a slight one, if no one else has got something to say. But I thought that it was interesting that...
Okay, hold on a minute. Let me mute everybody, and then I'll unmute you, okay? Okay. There, go on, Nicole. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I thought that it was interesting that once again Hercules fails because he uses his lower mind to fight the birds, and you know, once again he tries to set the traps. I mean, high thinking, obviously, but still using the lower mind. But then he fails. And I thought that it was very interesting that this failure made him actually pause. And the word that DK uses, he says he then reflects, or something to this effect, reflecting long. And we see that in the word reflection, everything must be still. So the emotional body must be still, and the mind must be still, so that then the intuition can pour through. So I thought that was also interesting, how the choice of words in the myth was very revealing.
Right, and that was when he had to go back and remember what the teacher had told him, that in the reflection, that's where he remembered what it was that the teacher had told him. Mm. And remember, the teacher had also paused before telling him that.
You're right.
And as we talked about earlier, there are many different interpretations of who that teacher is, but one of them is that it is the intuition. So that's what he had to do, was listen to himself there and go within to find the answer to the dilemma. So another very good point. Thank you very much.
Bill, Walter has made a comment, a written comment, but he might like to speak.
Yeah, let's unmute him, and then I'll let you speak, okay, Walter? I'm going to mute you again, Nicole, and oops. There you go, Walter. Unmute. There you go.
Oh, yeah, I was just commenting that it's like that the birds themselves are an aspect of ourselves. In other words, we each are Hercules, but so is the environment, like our personality environment, whether it be the swamp of our kama manasic thoughts or our monkey mind, which, and it's like this is really demonstrates how thoughts can be the slayer of the real, at least when they take the form of these birds and can together cloud the sky from our self-interest when the birds are acting in that form, hiding the spiritual goals.
Exactly. Thank you very much for pointing that out. That's exactly what's happening here. Okay, any other comments before we move on? Let me try and unmute everybody again. Some question. Monica's got a question. Let me unmute Monica here. Okay, Monica, go ahead.
Yes. Yes, hello. You can hear me?
Yes.
Hello?
Yes, we can hear
you. Wonderful. Well, yes, fine. I put myself the question, why did Hercules wait until twilight before he used the symbols? Because I would expect that he would be doing it during full light. That's my question.
Okay, my experience, and this is my observation with the birds. They come, they do their feeding at about twilight. And it actually says, it alludes to that in the Labors of Hercules, that he waited till twilight when the swamp was full of the birds. So he was waiting basically for an optimal time when he could take care of the bulk of them.
I see.
Does anybody else have a different interpretation of that? Because there's several different ways we can look at things, but that's one of the ways to look at it. So. Okay.
And twilight is a balance time where day and.
Right. Exactly. It is.
Oh, yeah, that's a very good answer, because there's also the fourth ray in Sagittarius.
Right. And the balance is one of the things that the person has to do. So, yeah. See, there's never just one interpretation. There are levels. There are always levels of interpretation, which is one of the reasons I like having these webinars, because you get other people's point of view on it. And it just enhances your own understanding of it, at least my own understanding. So thank you, Monica, for asking the question.
Thank you.
Let me try this again. I'm going to unmute everybody to see if anybody else has any questions before we move on. Okay, I don't hear any, so let me mute everybody again and I'll move on to the next slide. There will be more opportunities. Okay, let's look at a little bit of the astrology here. Some astrology books tell us that there are three signs of beneficent outpouring of the zodiac, and they're the three fire signs, Aries, Leo, and Sagittarius. The gift of existence in Aries is the wonder of being a human being. If you can think of the difference between the mineral and a human being, you can see the wonder of what we are as a human being. But we all started out eons ago in the mineral kingdom, and we worked our way steadily up. And our goal now is the spiritual kingdom. In Leo, the gift of opportunity was bestowed. We individualized. We are able to use life for ourselves. At first, we did this as the selfish little Leo of the personality, growing more into soul consciousness through Leo and providing an opportunity to open the gates for others. Remember a couple of slides back where we talked about Leo being the ruler, but you're going to do it all wrong the first time around that you go through it. You have to learn all the other lessons. The soul has to control before you do it right. And that's the difference between the little Leo personality and the soul-conscious Leo. In Sagittarius, the gift of power is bestowed. One definition of an occultist is a human being who works in the world of powers and forces. But to safely wield this power, restraint of speech and thought has to be learned. When we love enough, we have power. When we love enough and are harmless enough as well, then the gates of heaven will be put in our hands, but not before. So I liked that little bit that they had in there. Let's see what else. It's the quality of focused direction, one-pointed activity in the early stages, satisfaction of desire, but in the later stages, it's the aspiration for the goal of initiation. The polar opposite, as we talked briefly about, is Gemini. It's an air sign. Eventual control of the fluidity of the pairs of opposites, the fusion and synthesis of at-one-ment of the axis, the Gemini-Sagittarius axis. Rulers of Sagittarius, the exoteric ruler is Jupiter. The esoteric ruler is the Earth. The key words from the form of angle, from the form angle, let food be sought. And from the soul angle, I reach that goal and then I see another. As we talked briefly about, Sagittarius is one of the fire signs. Exoterically, they're animated, enthusiastic energy, but they can be too forceful. Esoterically, the keys are burning by fire and reorientation. Aries clears the way for the spirit and universality. Leo clears the way for the soul and self-consciousness. And Sagittarius clears the way for the body in one-pointedness. Fire signs are masculine, as are the air signs. This is a yang energy, outgoing, expressive, and giving. They represent the day, and they are related to the 1-3-5-7 ray line. Although Sagittarius itself is on the 4-5-6 ray. Fire signs are compatible with air signs. They work out their issues through the axes relationship and also through the trines and sextiles, which are favorable aspects. Sagittarius is part of the mutable cross. Exoterically, they are adaptable, versatile, and serving, but they may be too inconsistent. They work out their issues on the cross via the oppositions and the squares, which are considered harder aspects. I like to think of it as the squares are the swift kick in the behind to get you to use the opportunities and attributes of the softer aspects. There also are challenges, our lessons, and our opportunities. Esoterically, the form life is developed through incarnation. Gemini is developing control of the opposites. Virgo is nurturing the soul and the heart. Sagittarius is developing one-pointed aspiration. Pisces is developing soul consciousness. In Esoteric Astrology, page 182, it tells us a little bit about Sagittarius and the four arms of the mutable cross. It says, an idea of the general symbology of this cross from the quality angle can be gained if we give the two sets of characteristics which distinguish the man upon this cross, both the unevolved man and the aspirant to divinity. Okay, unevolved man, and this is reversing the wrong way through the signs. Gemini is changeable, instability, interplay. Sagittarius is ambitious desire, direction, and orientation. Virgo is material life, the cherishing of an idea, and Pisces is sensation, mediumship, and fluidity. But the evolved man, the disciple, going through the signs in the correct order, Gemini is recognition of soul in form and its soul interplay. Sagittarius is that one-pointed spiritual aspiration, its disciples. Virgo is the mother of the Christ child, it's the gestation. And Pisces is the world savior, the mediator. The world savior. Mediatorship. Okay, now the synthesized axes of the mutable signs, Gemini, Sagittarius, is establishing control of the opposites and resolving that duality into at-one-ment for spiritual use. And Virgo, nurturing the soul within the heart and bringing it into that conscious manifestation. Okay, let's open this up. Okay, Monica has a question. Let me unmute her. Okay, go ahead, Monica. Monica? Monica, are you there? Guys, can one of you read what she's got in the chat box?
Yes, Monica said, could you say in short something about the esoteric meaning of the earth in Sagittarius?
Oh, man. I hate to do something like that off the top of my head. Elena, are you there? Elena? Elena, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Would you like to give us a definition of that? The Earth in Sagittarius? Or would you like me to go to one of my books?
You know, there is a number of interpretation of this, which is everybody has a different opinion about. You see, this Earth is the ruler only of the axis of Gemini and Sagittarius. It does not rule anywhere else. Gemini is ruled by us on the hierarchical level, on the spirit or monadic level. And in Sagittarius is the soul rulership. And that is, you know, it is rather involved, you know, to explain all the different linkage of these two signs through the planet Earth. But, you know, if we go from the, how would I say, a practical level here, that Earth is a planet upon which we live. And the Earth represents our service, which we can provide. As as a disciples. It's a service of the disciple, as he's getting in Sagittarius, as he is going from the stabilization of the mind, the quietness, the stillness of the mind, the control of the mind, and reaching the level of the intuition. This is the process how the service, particularly, of the disciple is expressed through the planet Earth. Now, there is a number of, from my perspective, of interpretation of this, because Earth rules also the mental unit, which is the concrete mind, and it also rules a spleen, which is the etheric. We're going to the etheric level of energies, and that interpretation becomes a very individual from the level of the consciousness of the disciple or aspirant or whatever level of the path. So the interpretation, like with every planet, is modified. So every planet can be interpreted, you know, from a different level of consciousness, and it is for that reason, you know, it is not only one answer what the planet represents in a particular sign, you know, either on the personality, soul, or monadic level, and it is a process, and sometimes two levels are interlinked together. But in this case, the planet Earth particularly, it's ruling only on the soul or monadic levels, and so the process. That's why it's very difficult to understand it, because we are aligning two highest levels of our being, and it is always related to the plan which the Sagittarius, the path, particularly the path and the plan also in Sagittarius. It is the persistence of the, particularly of the pledged disciple, which is coming under the Sagittarian energy, and the Earth, in relation to that, is how much do we see our role in the plan, which we need to fulfill and express it in service, and that's where the Earth is coming in, the planet Earth. So, this is just some of my thoughts on that.
Thank you very much. I would also like to add that, first off, for those of you who don't know where the Earth is in your chart, the Earth, esoterically, it's always opposite the Sun. So, you need to think of the Sun and the Earth together as that whole axis. You know, if you have the Earth in Sagittarius, it means you have the Sun in Gemini, or any other combination thereof. So you have to look at the combination as a whole.
That is a very good point, BL, you brought, because that is, again, we see the relation of the Earth towards the monadic level, you see?
Right.
That it's linking the soul and monadic levels, even through that what you said, that it's opposition of the Sun, where we find the monadic link.
So did that answer your question, Monica? Somebody muted you again. I actually, while Elena was speaking, I did pull a book that has a little definition here. Did that answer your question, Monica? More or less? Well, here, let me read this little book. This is from Leonie Hodgson's Om Union Through Astrology, The Earth in Sagittarius, and she talks about the point I just made here, so this is why I like her book, among other reasons. For aspirants and disciples, group awareness, ruler the earth. The sun in Gemini personality tends to squander its quick-mindedness and communication skills in superficial and shallow living, but through the stress of life experienced on earth, this will eventually bring painful experiences such as dismissed for being a lightweight or for being unreliable. In time, a growing intelligent awareness of the connections between actions and results will provide the needed incentive to swing toward the Sagittarius polarity for balance and for the need to develop and focus one-pointedness. Join a group that works in practical ways to inspire people to higher effort or which brings practical aid and assistance. Then expand your group awareness skills by working cooperatively to promote the group's aims. Contribute with your intelligence, your ideas, and networking skills. As an act of sacrifice, make this a solid commitment and focus steadily on the group good. The Gemini-Sagittarius axis gives the potential to be an excellent leader, teacher, and communicator of the wisdom. So there's a couple of different perspectives to look at. And like I said, I hope that answers your question, Monica. So are there any more questions? Anybody, is there anything else in the chat box which I can't see right at the moment? I'm going to unmute everybody.
Chat box looks clear.
Okay, I'm going to unmute everybody again just to see if there's any questions before we move on. We're almost finished here. We just have the wrap up. Any more questions or comments?
Actually, BL.
Yes.
Okay.
Is that you, Nicole?
Yes.
Okay, let me mute everybody again, and then I'll unmute you real quick, okay?
Intrigued of... Can you hear me now?
Yeah, we can hear you now. Sorry.
Okay. I was very intrigued with the use of symbols that Hercules uses. So I was wondering, why symbols? Why not the flute or some other instrument? And I looked up the etymology of the word symbol, and actually it comes from the Greek, and even beyond, the root word kou, which means a round or hollow object. So in other words, it's the idea of a drinking vessel or a cup. So I thought that was a very interesting use of the word, because we are reminded that the soul is always, or rather the symbol of the soul, is the chalice, which is a drinking cup or vessel. And I was also wondering, okay, why two symbols? And to me, it was the fusion of the two aspects. From one level, it's the two basic qualities of the soul, the will and love, using form as a vehicle, but also it's the fusion from another level, it's the fusion in the personality which acts as one. And when I was reading in esoteric astrology, the lower aspect is the animal nature and the man. You know, where's the animal, O Lanu, and where's the man?
Right.
Fused into one, O master of my life. So at different levels, there's always that fusion, just like the two symbols are always brought together to make the sound. But also, I was wondering about the sound. The sound, when DK talks about the sound, he always mentions or refers to the higher aspect of the four higher etheric levels, which means the spirit, So in Sagittarius, then the spirit uses the soul as its vehicle. Intuition uses the soul, which then expresses itself through the personality. So I thought that the use of a symbol was a very interesting one.
Well, thank you for pointing that out. I hadn't actually thought of it in those particular terms. I was thinking of it in the terms that the symbols were told in the labor that they actually made a screeching sound, and the birds themselves were making these horrible sounds. So to me, it was like he was fighting fire with fire. He was fighting that cacophony of noise, that horrid noise that was of his own creation, with a similar weapon that then destroyed it, but then they flew away. But then that resulted in the peace of silence. So again, this is the different levels, you know, looking at it from the various different levels, the different interpretations, and it's very interesting, your thought process there and the way that you've gone through that. So thank you very much for sharing. I'm going to unmute everybody else again, see if anybody has any more comments or to add on what Nicole said before we finish up these last little wrap-up slides. Speaking of cacophonies, nothing else? Okay, let me just finish this up real quick and then I'll open it up one more time. Okay, we went through this a little bit. I always finish the slides with this, but we went through this a little earlier because this is the first one in this fourth group here, or I'm sorry, in this last group of four, the signs of achievement, going straight for the goal in Sagittarius, leading to the scaling of the mountain in Capricorn, becoming the world server in Aquarius and the world savior in Pisces. I also wanted to point out a couple of things from esoteric astrology, and that is that this is in esoteric astrology, page 177, and it talks about the keynotes of Sagittarius are five in number, and we know that Sagittarius is related to the fifth ray. The first keynote, attached or fused duality, that's the centaur. Unattached duality is the archer, and the freedom or the one-pointedness is the bow and arrow. The second keynote is human ambition that's leading eventually to spiritual aspiration. The third keynote, a clear shaft of light, which is the intuitive and focused attitude of the pledged disciple. The fourth keynote, the returning arrow of the intuition, as it is sometimes called, for it is the shaft of the arrow of aspiration which returns to the sender as the arrow of the intuition. Sagittarius is one of the intuitive signs, for only the intuition will suffice to carry a man to the foot of the mountain of initiation in Capricorn. And idealism, which is the power to see the vision and to direct one's course toward it. This is the work of Mars and the expression of the sixth ray, which is also a sign. Sagittarius also goes through the sixth, the fourth, fifth, and the sixth ray. So this is very similar to what Nicole was just telling us when she was talking about the symbols, isn't it? And these are the keynotes for Sagittarius. Now, since we're talking about ray 5, or we were just a second ago, in esoteric astrology on page 174, there's also this really interesting table there that talks about the three zodiacal signs, which are more most closely related to man than any others, and that is Leo, Sagittarius, and Aquarius, which is the fifth ray. Those are the three signs for the fifth ray, concrete knowledge and science. And he goes on in this table, it talks about Leo being the lion, the man, self-consciousness, the physical nature, the integrated man, the human soul, individualization, personality, the fixed cross, centralization, individuality, individual unity, fire, selfishness, and evolution. Then Sagittarius has a correspondence to each one of those. The centaur, the archer, focused consciousness, emotional nature, the aspiring man, spiritual human soul, discipleship, the egoic focus, the mutable cross, orientation, sensed duality, fire, struggle, and the final path. And finally, Aquarius, it's the water carrier, it's the server, group consciousness, lower mental nature, intuitive mental nature, spiritual soul, initiation, monadic focus, the fixed cross, decentralization, universal unity, air, service, and liberation. It's really hard to read this to you. Please, if you guys have a chance, look at the table in Esoteric Astrology 174. It's really interesting the way. And he says, DK says, that they are related to the three aspects of the body, soul, and spirit. If you look at them in that tabular format, you can see that a little bit clearer. So, okay. And then the one last thing I would like to say before I open it up one more time for questions is thank you all for participating. If you have any questions or feedback, this is my email address right there. And our next Labor of Hercules is going to be on the 11th of January. I guess I need to change my slide. We need to also let you know that you can see the announcements and other webinars that we've got going on our Moira Federation external website, www.moirafederation.com. Let me just see if I'm capable of... There we go. And I think many of you have already found out that you can sign up and you'll get notices when we have things going on. So let me open it up again to everybody so we can say, see if there's any more questions or say goodbye to everybody. Any questions, comments, or goodbyes?
Yes, goodbye. Thank you very much for all.
Goodbye, everyone. Thank you, BL.
Thank you, BL.
You guys are welcome. BL. Thank you very much for attending.
Thank you to all the contributors and the participators.
Yes, and thank you, Nicole, for all your comments. They were great.
Thanks indeed.
Thank you, Walter. Very good turnout. Thank you all.
Thank you, Leah.
Thanks, Elena.
Hey.